right, here's what I'm going to do. And I don't want to make this a I guess we might. I guess it's doing something twice. Okay. Is doing something twice a habit? Is it a habit if I do something twice? Because I'm thinking about doing something I did yesterday. I don't know how this is going to go, but I'm thinking about taking another call because I see another call coming through. Now, this person doesn't have a cool name. Mr. Mehoff did yesterday. Mr. Jack Mehoff. Okay? But this person called through before. I didn't take it. So I'm thinking about going ahead and taking this now. Now, it could be bad. Could be disaster. We don't know. But I could give it a shot. I might hang in there. Let's F it. Let's do it. All right. Go ahead. You're a friend. Who's this?
Hi, this is Tracy. I promise I won't disappoint.
All right, Trey. Don't disappoint.
So I'm driving from South Carolina, where I live now, up to New York for some business I need to do. And I was someone other than the normal talking heads and found your show. And I was so pleasantly surprised. So this will be a good call for you.
Wow. So how do you, so what are you listening to us? I guess you must have one of them good cars, huh?
No, I'm on my phone. I called into Blog Talk on my phone. And I'm listening on the phone as I drive. So with my earbuds.
Okay, so go ahead. I'm ready for this pleasant call.
Okay, so basically I'm listening to everything you're saying and agreeing wholeheartedly. You know, one of the things I experienced personally was back in 2012 and 2008 too, but more so in 2012 when I was working very hard on the Ron Paul campaign. The very rule change, you know, we're going to change the rules at the very last second. We're going to, you know, act like adolescents and children and huff and puff and walk away. And, you know, the entire main delegation basically stormed out of the convention 4 years ago. And because Ron Paul's ideas weren't popular at that time, nobody really heard anything about it. Well, until now. So now I'm witnessing all these Trump supporters who are finally seeing that this system is a sham, that their voices are never heard, that it's a big game and a big club and we ain't in it type deal, opening their eyes. My main concern would be, if the GOP pulls off this and doesn't allow Donald Trump the nomination, you know, all those disenfranchised Republicans are now either not going to vote or they're either going to vote third party, which wouldn't be horrible, but that would almost ensure a Hillary victory, which kind of seems like that's what was in the plans the whole time, no?
So let me ask you this first. Not that it's
sure.
That important. Who do you support? Who are you going for?
I have bucked trends with my libertarian / anarchist values, and I am a Trump supporter through and through.
Okay, that's good. That's good. You know, I think there's a not a piece. I think there's a huge piece of the establishment, and I hate to use the word establishment because everybody uses it. But there's a big piece of them who ultimately, and I think when Charles Koch came out the other day and kind of admitted to what we've all have been saying, it doesn't matter to a lot of them whether it's Hillary Clinton or it's Donald Trump or it's Jeb Bush or whoever it is. It really doesn't matter because ultimately, you know, business moves on as usual. So I think ultimately they don't care who wins. And when I threw Trump's name in there, I think some of them do feel that Trump is a lot more workable than, say, a Ted Cruz or someone like that. But I think at the end of the day, Go ahead.
I mean,
go
ahead. I agree with you, but look at, you know, they tried to label Cruz as this anti-establishment. Yeah, it's true. Nobody likes the dude. I mean, how could you, right? But he's as entrenched with Goldman Sachs and the CFR and the rest of them as his wife, if not worse. And it's really just a case of likability for him. They get him in, he's going to do whatever the hell they say. Donald Trump, I'd say, not so much. So while I agree with your sentiment, I disagree a teeny little bit there, just a little.
Well, but you know what? You're 100% right. Cruz is more established than most of the people that are, you know, saying that, you know, they don't like him. I think he's just as established as them. The likable thing, or I should say the workable thing with the Trump aspect, I do think Trump, and it's not that he'll compromise the way that the Republican, that the way the Cruz people say, oh, he's going to compromise and he's going to, his principles. I just think Trump is more likable. I think he's just a likable person who will get along with people a lot better. And so
well,
I think
he's a deal maker. So yeah, absolutely.
And I think there's a sense that it's not about, oh, we can mold him. I just think he's likable. Listen, I'm originally from New York. There's something about people that from New York that's likable. People from New York are just likable. Yes, we're brash and we have that big attitude and we're loud and all of these things, but there's a likable factor there. It's just something about New York. It's something about the East Coast. People like that. They enjoy that. When I go and visit my friends in Texas, everybody loves that whole New York vibe. And I think that is why people say, well, he will be a better workable candidate because he can get along with people, opposed to, say, Cruz or, you know, whoever else they want to throw up there.
I have another question for you I'd like to get your perspective on, because I've really enjoyed listening to what you have to say so far. You know, Roger Stone, he brought in Trump brought in that guy who worked the delegates at the convention for Reagan. What's his name?
Manafort.
Yes, Manafort, yes. He brought him in to try and, you know, kind of run the delegate aspect of things for him a little bit better than Lewandowski was. So you take a look at that situation. Now, he tried to basically go and have some discussions with the Republican establishment about how Trump was going to tone things down. As soon as Trump got wind of that, this is within the last couple of days, he basically diminished his role and brought back Lewandowski into a much greater, you know, he has a much greater hold now again on the campaign. I think people should take a look at that and also take into perspective that, you know, that's another factor that shows that Trump really can't be swayed or bought, that he's going to do things sort of his way. He's not going to sell out. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, you could look at it two ways. You could look at it from the aspect of, what we, or what the impression is supposed to be, which is, well, he went and said these things at the, you know, RNC, and he, you know, said, well, Trump's going to tone this down and he's going to tone that down. And now he's kind of back in the shadows, and Lewandowski maybe is back up in the front, and we're all saying, okay, look, or you can look at it as a point that they did this purposely. Here's the thing. I don't think anything he does is by accident. I think he is a genius when it comes to a step further or a different step. So you're not thinking about the next step. Oh, let's do this move to see where we go. I look at it that they go, we're going to do this move because the move that comes off of this move which will be 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now, are going to make this person react, which is going to make that person react off of this. I think he's constantly doing that. And I'll give you an example. The whole incident in Chicago, Illinois, the whole controversy and the near riot, however you want to classify it. I think from that day one, they went into that knowing what was going to happen, because the narrative going into that was there's violence at Trump's rallies. He needs to get people to tone it down. He needs to get people to not fight. He needs to do a better job. He needs to be a commander in chief, blah, 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 blah. So what did they do? They could have had that rally anywhere in that city, in that time. They didn't have to pick that college. They didn't have to pick where Ayers is. They didn't have to pick where they knew there would be an effort to get all of the paid protesters, but they did it because they knew that there would be a confrontation. And once that happened, they'd be able to say, hey, you know what? We're canceling. We're showing that we're presidential. We don't want to have violence. And when that happened, that all the networks covered it. And at the end of the day, what you had was what you had. Trump wasn't even at the rally. He was in a hotel room. I think, and when you hear people go, oh, look, we shut it down, and he wasn't prepared. Bullcrap. He knew, his campaign knew, it was systematic. So I think when we read into things and go, oh, well, this is the reason they did it, I think it was planned from the beginning. I think they planned for him to go to the RNC and say, this is what's going to happen. Trump is going to tone it down. Because remember, for weeks and weeks and weeks, Trump had been telling everybody, I can act presidential. I will bore all of you, but I can act presidential. So that's all Monfort did, is when he went into that room, he said, listen, he's going to act more presidential. Don't worry about it. And ultimately, I think it was still just a work to get exactly what you felt from a lot of different people, which is, okay, now he's in the shadows, Corey's back in the front, and makes people think and makes people guess. I think they're a lot smarter than a lot of people give them credit for.
Very interesting perspective. That was good. I like that. Very good. Very, very good. You know, as a former radio host myself, I tend to accidentally interview shows, I call it. So I tend to accidentally interview my host that I actually get to talk to. So that was really good. I love what you said so far. I'm not going to hog up all your time. I could have pretended I was a Bernie supporter and had a lot more fun with you, but I can't even stomach that. So I went easy on you.
All right. Well, hey, I appreciate your call. Anytime you want to call, you call in. I'll take it from you.
Oh, nice. Yay. Okay, good. Maybe I'll have to do that again. Just don't hang up on me. I want to listen to the rest of your show as I'm driving to where I'm going.
You got it, my darling.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.